We are like Jesus. Most of the results that Jesus experienced from his fast, and we looked at this last time, was after the fast. After he was baptized in the Jordan, he was led by the Spirit into the desert. And Scripture says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, that he was full of the Holy Spirit after he was baptized. And he was led into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days. And it says after that time that he was hungry. It didn't say that he was thirsty. So he drank during his fast. He had water, but he didn't eat. He came back hungry. And verse 14 in Luke chapter 4 says that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. And so I want to look tonight at we're returning in power, and what is God's response to fasting? We know that, you know, blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you'll be filled. Well, filled with what? And we know in Psalm 107 that God satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. And we've been thirsty and hungry for 21 days. What are the good things that he fills us with? What can we, to me, it makes all the difference in the world. It's great that, I mean, our number one purpose is to pursue him, to seek him, to know him. In prayer last Friday night, Joel said, you know, I didn't, excuse me, Joel, if I'm telling something you wouldn't want told, but I'm telling it anyway. It convicted me so much. He said, I didn't go into this fast with anything. I didn't have any reasons, anything I wanted God to do. I wanted him to show me what he was doing and how I could get in on his plan and what he's doing. And that's our number one goal. And at the same time, though, we have in Scripture people called a fast for reasons. There was always a reason. They knew a reason why they called a fast. And I think it means so much. It's great that we fasted and we've sought the Lord, but we need to know some scriptural precepts to stand on and say, Lord, therefore, because you did this for this person through their fast, and I have a similar need, I have a basis to believe that you'll do the same thing for me and my same need, that I came to you in the same way that they did fasting. And so I just want to look at a few of these things tonight. And so the first of God's responses to suffering is that he releases the power of the Holy Spirit into our lives. Derek Prince has a great quote that I love. He said, the potential of the Holy Spirit's power that Jesus received at the time of his baptism in Jordan only came into full manifestation after he had completed his fast. Not during, after he had completed his fast. And so we can, the same as Jesus, we are his disciples, right? The same scriptural principles that applied to Christ's ministry apply to ours. He said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He'll do greater things than these, greater works than these. And the way we get to greater works are doing exactly what Jesus did. No disciple is greater than his master, right? We looked at that last time too. So as we emulate Jesus and do what he did, we can also expect to do the works. See, the works performed in our life that Jesus did through him. And that's why this is called Miracle Night of Prayer. Jesus renounced the supernatural in order to invoke. He renounced the natural in order to invoke the supernatural. And that's what I believe we can come out of this with, is expecting supernatural things in our lives, like cousins who make it through med school and puppies who are saved, and a lot of larger things. I mean, I know that we're believing God for marriages and for health and for bank accounts and jobs. There are some heavy situations in this room that I know about, and I believe that we can pray with authority. Whenever Jesus returned to Galilee in Luke 4, chapter 14, and if you have your Bible, just turn there, because I want you to see the word. Oh, here it is. I'm sorry, I forgot to put it on the screen. Jesus returned. The word for power is dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. And in the original language, I was looking at this a couple of days ago, and I just love it, some of these meanings. There is the word power means inherent power, capable of anything, ability to perform anything, not merely power, but capable of action, power in action. And here is the noun form of this verb. This is what it actually means in the original language. One who exercises dominion and authority. One who exercises dominion and authority. And when we pray in a little bit, we've been fasting and praying, returning in dominion and authority of Jesus Christ. We are ruling. If nobody's read the blog from today, go home and read the blog tonight, that we are kings and priests who share we've been raised and seated with Jesus Christ, enthroned with him, Ephesians says, and to reign and rule with him. We share the authority with him as kings and priests, and Jesus rules as king, and as priest he intercedes. And we exercise our authority to reign. We act as priests as we intercede through prayer. So we can expect a release of the Holy Spirit's power in our life is number one. In Isaiah 58, we just mentioned this time last time, but we didn't really look at it, is the fasters chapter. Just like 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. Isaiah 58 is full of promises to fasters, and I just kind of want to take a few of these things and look specifically, because faster, this is God's promise to you and what he'll do when you enter the chosen fast. And God rebukes the Israelites there because they weren't fasting with the right heart and the right attitude, and they were full of unrepentant sin, and they were exacting debts on people, and even enslaving their fellow Jews. There were lots of things, and so he said, is not this the fast I've chosen? He wasn't saying, I don't want you to fast. He's saying, I want you to fast with this kind of heart, and this is what I will do. And so the first thing I want us to look at in Isaiah 58, and I've got it all on the screen, and if you have your Bible, you can turn there, in verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice, or the King James says, to loose the bands of wickedness? And that is, that means to free ourselves and others from things that bind us. And there are two ways we can look at this. Number one is, a band is something that holds you back. Is there something that's holding back your business, or holding back your ministry, or holding you back on your job, or whatever that is? As we fast, God will loose that. He will set it free. It also means a band is something that enslaves us. It means that their addictions to sin and oppressions are broken as we fast. And to loose in this sense means to be violently thrown open, to throw it wide open. And wickedness means something that opposes the character of God. So if there's something that is opposing God's will in your life, it will be violently thrown open. It will be loosed, split apart. And Matthew 17, we looked at last time as well, is a great example of this, and of loosing the band of wickedness. And Betty came into prayer at one of the fasting meetings, and she and Judy both were so excited about the sin that God was showing them. And they were just going, man, we got to confess and ask him to forgive us something years ago I didn't even know was there. And wow. And I'm just going, I need some of that. I need some of that. And in Matthew chapter 17, there was a father who brought his son to Jesus. The son was having seizures. It was throwing him into the fire and into the water. And they'd previously brought him to the disciples. The disciples were unable to heal the boy, to cast the demon out, because they hadn't fasted. Because Jesus said, they come to Jesus afterward. Jesus heals the boy, casts the demon out, he's healed. They come to Jesus privately afterward and say, why couldn't we heal him? And he says, because of your little faith. I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. But, and here's verse 21 that we miss so much, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And the disciples didn't recognize, for one thing, they hadn't been fasting, and second thing, they didn't recognize the demonic spirit in the boy. And I think that is so much our problem, that we don't see our own sin, our own besetting sin. We make light as Christians and believers of besetting sin. And loosing the bands of wickedness is about setting us free. God setting us free of besetting sins and addictions and things that willpower alone won't break. Things that you plead and you beg, God, get rid of this for me. I don't want to be this way. I don't want to be this way. But yet we find ourselves repeating that and repeating that behavior and repeating that behavior. Loosing the bands of wickedness is about breaking things that we cannot break. God breaks those things that hold us. And so as we're mentioning these things, I want you to make a note of, because we're going to have a time of prayer that we we pray in authority and say, thank you, Lord. Because see, when Daniel fasted, God said from the first day, the angel comes with a message and said, from the first day that you set your mind to humble yourself and to gain understanding, the answer, I've been sent to you with the answer. I've just been held up. And so from the first day you began your fast, God sent the answer. And so we're going to thank him for these things tonight. And I want you to make a note of specific things that in your own private time, or if you want to say it publicly as we pray, thank him. There may be a band of wickedness on one of your children, a band of rebellion on one of your children. Hezekiah's son, Manasseh, repeatedly rebelled against a God, right? He was a wicked king, and God repeatedly warned him, and yet he didn't listen. And here the Assyrians come, put a hook through his nose, bind him in chains, and lead him away. And Manasseh humbled himself through fasting, and God relented, sent him back, and gave him his kingdom back. He freed him from those horrible bonds. So maybe it's a child that we're praying for. Maybe it's someone with a one of the people. We have people from Pennsylvania to California to Washington fasting as a part of Pursuit 21. And some of the things that they've sent in, I've taken to our fasting prayer meetings and prayed over those things. And one of the women had a sister who's involved in homosexuality. And we've been praying for her sister and her partner. And just like in the Benjamites in Judges 20, when the Israelites, God told them to go to war against the Benjamites because there was a homosexual spirit. They were defending homosexuality and perversion, essentially. And in those days, that was how God went about it. And I won't go into the whole story we did last time. But God told them to go attack the Benjamites, and they went and attacked them. And that day, they lost 22,000 men. They come back that night and say, Lord, did you tell us to go? Really? Do we go back? And he said, yes, go. They went back. I mean, he had told them even which tribe to send first. You know, they'd done what he said to do. They went back. They lost 18,000 men. They come back. This time, they put a day of prayer and fasting in front of it. They go back and attack, and that is broken. They accomplished victory. God gave them victory because of their fasting, and that symbolizes victory over sexual perversion, sexual sins. And so if there's someone in your family that you're praying for that on, there's a scripture you can claim in Judges chapter 20. And I just want us to have some good, hard scriptural things, because as you come out of this fast, your mind is going to go back to those things. And I don't want you to say, Lord, did you? Did you? I want you to say, thank you, Lord. That you're answering me based on this scripture, based on a precedent. It's just like we have legal precedents, and once there's a precedent, you know, we hate it, Roe versus Wade, and some things that are hard to ever overturn once there's a precedent. There are scriptural precedents for the things that we're encountering in our lives, and it's important that we know them. Jane Hansen is president and CEO of Glow International. She fasted, began fasting as a lifestyle, and credits fasting and God's work through fasting for delivering her son from alcohol and drugs and for saving her husband. He's now an elder in her church. They both grew up in pastors' homes, married, but he wasn't saved. And she fasted regularly for her family. It's great. I mean, we need to celebrate and be glad that we fasted and praise the Lord for what he has accomplished. But I also want us to bear in mind that he calls this to be a lifestyle. He asks this to be a lifestyle for us. Just like giving and tithing, fasting. He said, when you pray, in Matthew chapter 6, when you pray, when you give, and when you fast. The word, when Jesus in Matthew 17:21, when he said, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. The word for fasting, the whole, the verb action in that phrase is continuous. It means it comes by continual fasting. There are some things that just like you pray once and you get an answer, but other things you have to pray repeatedly, there are some things that take repeated fasting. But has it not been such a joy? I mean, when Dana emailed me, she had so many exclamation points after exhilarating. This has been so exhilarating, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. I mean, is it not so fun that you would want to do it again? I'm thinking, yeah. And I thought I would just, if anybody wants to, it's been neat. I think the Lord has enabled some gals to do this when in the past, because we're doing it together. And the anointing and the power in it is different when we're doing it together. So I would like for us to maybe look at fasting one or two days the first week of every month, just like we're giving him the first of our year, the first of every month. Ponder that and pray about it.